to Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is the Money Matters Radio Network Studios. I'm here with Mark Z from Longfellow Staffing. He's nice enough to sit in today as my co-host. Mark, we have a returning from a far destination reporter.
By the way, I'm not nice enough. I'm honored to be your co-host. This is always a lot of fun for me. Jeff, we have Greg Stoller, who's the lecturer at the Carroll School of Management at Boston College. And Greg, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming.
I genuinely appreciate the opportunity to return.
I can't speak Chinese, but welcome back from Beijing.
Thank you.
And all I have to say is, what's the news from Beijing?
The news from Beijing is that we had 8 days of perfect sunshine, not a cloud in the sky. I get back to the States, I pull up the New York Times on my homepage, and I see
the Chinese flu.
I see the pollution index is off the charts.
Right.
And people are emailing me saying, how was it over there? I said, it was great. It was literally like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
All I know is that I got a photo from you of a meal, and I'm still hungry just looking at what you ate that night.
I have to say that I don't know what we did this time around, but I think we might have gotten it more right than wrong, because I had the potential to gain literally 10 pounds in a week. We've never been fed so well our entire
lives. No doggy bag? What's Chinese food without a doggy bag?
Especially Jeff, who's an ace dim sum person.
That's right.
Oh, I love dim sum.
Yeah. The food, every meal was like that. It was truly an honor. Mark was saying before, it was an honor to be your co-host. It was truly an honor to be over there. I've never seen so much hospitality and so much food in my entire life. But to be fair to the process, our 21 students killed themselves in terms of working on behalf of the client.
Excellent.
So what's the big hot business story? You went over there with all these students. What's happening?
I think what's happening is that China is trying to figure out where they want to be in 2012. I mean, at the end, 2013. At the end of the day, they have a new premier who's just started. The big discussion right now is rooting out corruption. But the other discussion thread is what to do about the economy. And I would say that depending on what publications you read, on any given day, either China's going to have a fantastic 2013, a moderate 2013, or 2012 is not necessarily done yet.
And that sounds like every other country I travel to right now. It's the same story.
Well, you know, I
go to Quebec. I hear, let's root out corruption. What kind of year can we have?
I don't think I'm in a position to disagree with that, except when you're talking about a country with excess of 1.2 billion people, everything is done on a large scale. So if you'll excuse the phrase, to turn a battleship, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that it's not happening in the United States, I'm not suggesting it's not happening in Europe, and I'm not suggesting this is unique news, but when you're talking about the People's Republic of China, it's going to take a long time to get all of that to be fettered out.
Plus, the effect they have on the rest of the economies, depending what China does, is huge.
Oh, it's huge, and you're not talking about something that the federal government having a lot of large control over the states. There's a Chinese phrase that's saying the mountains are high and the emperor's far away, which means that anybody in the provinces are a long way from Beijing. So as a result, they sort of have, depending on whom you ask, carte blanche to do their own thing. So any policy, any change is going to take a while to implement.
Very interesting. Big impact on us. How does America react?
You know, I think we are very much still in a waiting game, in the sense that the bond market is not having a good year so far. You know, we're only a few days into 2013, and the bond market is already suffering a couple of issues. You have to think, with the amount of debt that the People's Republic of China owns, that ultimately is going to affect the United States. The big news in China, Jeffrey, to answer your question, is they are determined to increase domestic consumption. The export market for the moment is suffering. And part of it is that wages have increased. A lot of people have moved out of Guangzhou, which is the southern area of China above Hong Kong. They move back to their villages. They move back to their homeland because they don't want to deal with 24-hour commutes back for Chinese New Year. So as a result, wages are increasing. The rest of the world isn't buying, and China's desperate to increase domestic consumption.
Well, isn't that part of what's been America's formula? Keep domestic demand high so we don't always have to rely on foreign demand?
You know, it's funny you say that. WeatherTech, which is the company that manufactures the floor mats, has been doing has been on a spate of advertising lately, and they keep saying as their tagline at the end of the commercials that it's manufactured in the United States. They're laser measured floor mats and everything else, and it's so wonderful to hear that. One of my MBA students asked me the other night in our first class, you know, what does America stand for these days in terms of
rubber mats?
Right. I mean, literally, all of the manufacturing has gone offshore, and, you know, from Japan in the 80s and the 90s to China in the decade of the zeros, as long as they're exporting it for relatively cheap labor dollars and people are buying it, they could prime the pump. It's pretty easy. When that stops, Jeffrey, you've got a problem.
You know what's interesting, though? I think we've started seeing in the last year or two, and we've talked about on the show, is that a lot of companies are now coming back to this country as wages are higher.
But it's also through automation.
Right. I mean,
robotics is making manufacturing come back to America.
Right.
And it's not just robotics means that people have to change their jobs, though, Mark, which is good for you, and be retrained to go back in the workforce. So the American workforce has to look at new types of careers. But manufacturing's here. It's just the job of the worker has changed.
I also like, though, and again, this is news that isn't brand new. This is going back probably a decade. You see companies like Toyota that are setting up plants in Lexington, Kentucky, and hiring American workers. You see Chinese companies like Haier that are setting up plants in North Carolina and hiring American workers. Again, that's not the perfect formula, and I agree with you guys that we could do better. But in terms of baby steps, in terms of turning back the clock, that's not such a bad compromise.
Right. It works both ways. You know, we'll open businesses in your area, but now you have to open up businesses in our neck of the woods. And I agree with you. But what I also see is branding, as you say, made in America. As I was listening to a commercial the other day that said it's no longer made in China. People are looking, is this made in America?
Right.
So what I'm interested in doing, besides what's happening in China, tell us a little bit some of the things that your students did on behalf of your client.
Our students did a really amazing job, and I'd love to be able to say I can say that every year and every cycle. Don't get me wrong, our students are wonderful, but when you have 20 of something and you have different clients, you're not going to necessarily knock the cover off the ball on a consistent basis. This time around, all three sets of seven-person teams truly knocked the cover off the ball. We did three projects on business model innovation, centralized fund management, and international M&A.
Wow.
And we had multiple presentations both at the consulting firm, who's my client's location, but as well as the client's location. And it was really quite dramatic to see the students pull off the Q&A.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're speaking with Greg Stoller. Greg, can you give us some detail about some of the things that they really worked on when they were over there? More detail?
Sure. I think that the easiest way of describing it is that issues that we talk about on this broadcast, issues that we talk about in our respective offices, whether they be industrial growth curves, you know, introductory growth maturity decline, the value chain, Porter's five forces, they are absolutely as commonplace to us as my saying, hey, what did you guys do last weekend? In certain sectors and certain industries in China, they are learning as they go. So a lot of the students' research in terms of how to analyze an industry, what the future is for the industry, how you define business model innovation, what happens with international M&A outside of the United States and different countries. I'm not going to be disrespectful and say that they're foreign concepts, but they don't have the luxury in China yet of having the 30 or 40 years of business history that we do. So as a result, a lot of the Q&A focused around, how did you come up with that? What sources did you use? What are your feelings for short-term, medium-term, and long-term development? How is that going to impact our company? Or in one case, one of the clients said, we love what you've presented. We're not there yet. We're not there yet at the company level, and we're not there yet at the industry level, but check back with us in a couple of years.
Wow. That really says something, that they're really able to do a little bit of a crystal ball.
Well, I also think, to be honest with you, Mark, it is truly a team effort in the sense that the students can do all of the research that they can, but unless our client is going to be guiding them in terms of what their client is interested in, the message is going to be lost.
Right.
So I really do think it's a true partnership that our client was saying, focus on areas A, B, and C.
Right.
This is what our clients want to focus on, but our students had the gumption and the confidence to be able to respond to the Q&A.
That's great. So it's bonus points, so
it's,
to speak.
It's bonus points, and it's nice for the students to build their resume. This was the 10th year in a row that we worked with this client.
Wow.
And I think there's something to be said for a 10-year history. It's very nice. It means a lot to me. So.
Absolutely.
Greg, if somebody wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
Sure. My BC email address is probably the fastest way of getting in touch with me. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. I sent out my first tweet a couple of days ago, so I'm now on Twitter, and I'm also experimenting with Facebook, so that's another area that our listeners can hopefully connect through.
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
We're going to take a break. We know we're going to have you back again, Greg, because you're so good at what you do.
Thank
this
you.
Is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we'll be right back after this break with more stories.